The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. This is God's word for you.
We thank
the epistle appointed for today is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the sixth chapter, beginning at the first verse. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is God's word for you.
Gospel for today is found in Mark chapter 1. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." This is the good news of Jesus Christ for you.
We praise you, Jesus.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you might remember this funny quote from William Allen. He'd been interviewed, and after he'd already produced many great movies, they suggested that he would have a long legacy, right? That he would be immortalized through his body of work. And they asked him what he thought about that, and the quote attributed to him was, "I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality through not dying. I don't want to live on in the hearts of my countrymen. I want to live on in my apartment." Which I think we all relate to, right? I mean, isn't that the point of immortality, that you don't die? We don't want to die. None of us want to die. And in fact, as irreverent as he can be, I think that really captures our feelings pretty well. I was like, how to achieve immortality through not dying. That's our goal. That's why we have faith in Jesus Christ, right? That's why we're baptized either as infants or sometimes later in life, that we begin our journey with Jesus, that we don't have to fear death. As Jesus promised, if you believe in me, even if you die, you live. You win. Even if you lose, you win. You still live. That's exactly what we want. That's what we look forward to. That's why we go through all these ups and downs in life, following him through everything, knowing that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and there's life at the end of this. It's there, which is why we're troubled a bit by Paul's description of our baptism in Romans 6. Well, he says, do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. It's like, wait, I thought Jesus died and we were baptized so we don't die, but then he says, but we are joined with Jesus' death in our baptism. It's just, we were drowned. Sounds a little unnerving, this idea of dying so that we live, but we were told we don't die. And it brings in my mind a quote from Jesus in John 12. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls in the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Of course, talking about his own death and resurrection, right? That in order for him to save many lives, he would have to die. But it's interesting how through death comes life, right? Through his death comes life for us. We often see death though as the end of the road. How does life come from death? Which is part of the miracle right there of Jesus, isn't it? That life comes because of death. Not despite death, but because of death comes life. And so we think about this thing that Paul says about our baptism, that we are dying, getting buried and joining Jesus in his death through our baptism. We thought we could skip the whole death part. So how does this work? He says, for if we've been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So go, okay, well, I can understand that part. If I'm joining in his death, I'm also therefore invited to join him in his new life, in his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him. Whoa! All right, dying is one thing, but being crucified with Jesus, that was one of the worst experiences in humanity's history. Jesus nailed to a cross. First being, you know, bludgeoned with all these, the cat of nine tails and all that, then nailed to a cross for us so we don't have to suffer death. Yet it says that our old self is crucified with Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So, through baptism, we're not physically dying then. What's he suggesting? That our old sinful self is put to death. Is that such a horrible thing to think of? Maybe not, right? We might think something a little less violent, you know, maybe our old sinful self is put in the corner, right? Time out, locked up for eternity, something like that. But no, he's put to death. What does that mean? Putting to death our old sinful self. Is that something we can do on our own, first of all? You could try. Like a lot of times, we try to put our past behind us, don't we? The stuff that's embarrassing, the stuff that we're ashamed of, right? We want that not just in the past, we want it expunged from our record, right? That people would never know that we did the stupid things that we did when we were younger, right? Or maybe just last week, for all we know, right? We want it gone. And some people try to do that. I'm going to start with a new leaf. Some people do that by doing what? They're going to move to a new place, right? Some people even take on a new identity, right? Get their name changed or something. They want to start fresh
new start in life. But the past still kind of sticks with you somewhere. You know, and I think for a lot of us, it's following us around like a shadow and nobody else notices it, right? We're pretty sure everybody else sees it. But a lot of people don't know or even care, right? They're not bothering you. Why? They got their own shadow following around, right? You want to get rid of it. Get rid of my shadow. Just pretend it didn't happen. Bury it out in the yard at night when nobody else can see us doing it. But the fact that it still bothers us proves we can't get rid of it, right? We can't abandon our old sinful selves. And some of that desire to sin still follows us in our hearts, doesn't it? That's, where did Jesus say evil comes from? Our own sinful desires in our hearts. We blame everybody else in the world. The world around us is terrible. Yeah, he says, look in your own heart, right? Take the speck, you know, the log out of your eye before worrying about the speck in somebody else's. We're troubled by this stuff. We can't. Not a surprise to God, which is why Jesus is incarnate, right? Why he sends him to earth. To deal with sin. Right there. Not just sitting in heaven saying, well, all right, we'll do something about your sin. Boom, here he is. And does what? Doesn't avoid it. Doesn't point at us and say, wow, you people are all terribly sinful. Imagine the whole books of the gospel were all about Jesus traveling around saying, you people are in bad shape. You are in big trouble. Right? We don't, thanks, Captain Obvious, right? We know that. Even if we don't want to admit it. In our hearts, we know that. I have to think even the biggest braggarts on the planet, in their hearts, know they're in trouble. We can't shed it. We can't do anything about it. Jesus not only comes to our planet to share in our suffering, but says, here, give me your sin. I will deal with it. I will deal with your sin, not just what you just did 2 minutes ago, your sinful past. I will personally deal with this. Take it on myself. And that's where that death on the cross comes. All our sins were nailed on the cross with him, weren't they? All of them. The stuff we're too ashamed to even admit to him that we did. Take it away. But now what? What's the next thing he does for us? Okay. Let me cleanse you from this now. Let me give you that new life that you were looking for. You can't do it on your own. And so we often say and we teach that, you know, when we baptize someone, it's not just a physical washing of the body, right? But it is God through the water and the word does what? It cleanses you of your sin. You're new. And what is drowned? Your old sinful self, right? Gone. Dead, buried, history taken away by God himself. And Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, right? Gone. Not still lurking out there, because that wouldn't help us. Our old sinful self is still out there somewhere. It's still going to pop up. No, he says it's dead, killed it. Well, that makes that death seem pretty good then, doesn't it? I want that old sinful self gone, history put away, taken away. I couldn't do that. It's an amazing thing for us. I think a lot of folks don't grasp that and don't appreciate that, which is why they've kind of drifted away from faith in Jesus, right? Don't realize what he does for us that we can't do. The stuff that we want, we can't do. And people will make efforts to reinvent themselves, and guess what? It didn't work. But Jesus is offering that to us, isn't he? He's done the work already, and through the baptism, bang. And one of the great things about it, I always teach in confirmation about baptism is, because he could have just said, you know, well, here you got the Spirit, you're baptized, go home, right? He might have said, instructed pastors to do that, right? Oh, you're baptized, you're good, go home. And you go home and you might feel pretty good about it, and you go, man, I don't know. I personally think it was part of God's genius, part of God's knowing us as he does, that do something tangible. Water, bang. You know something happened, right? It's Especially if you had like a full immersion baptism, right? You knew you something happened, right? And your hair looked terrible. Right? Yeah. And what did, even Martin Luther talked about that. What do we do? We cling to the water of baptism because that's the tangible thing. We know something happened. We know that's when God killed our old sinful selves. Taken away. Every time we start to struggle again and we start to fall back into that, maybe the whole self is still here. Maybe it's still me. And I think it was Luther who said that, right? But I am baptized. Every morning get up and say, but I am baptized. God's already won. Satan's already gone. And my history taken away. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And you know, that's one of those great phrases that has two meanings simultaneously. The one that we think about most simply is that, yeah, because Jesus died for my sins, my old self is killed, I live with him now, I'm going to be in the future in his presence when he returns, right? But the other meaning is what? If we die with Christ, we will also live with him on a daily basis, right? He's fighting my spiritual battles for me now, right? I'm not alone. He has sent, as he promised, his Holy Spirit, the Helper, to help me. And also, as promised, that Spirit was received absolutely through our baptism, right? So we live with him daily, looking forward to living with him for eternity. Which we couldn't do if we still carried around our old shadow of a self. I'm looking at you right now. You know how many shadows I see hanging over you? Zero. You know why? Because it died. Jesus killed it in your baptism. God. Maybe you're still telling yourself that shadow's following me. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. You don't have a mirror anyway, so you can't tell. But I'm looking at it. It's gone. Sinful self, dead, buried, taken away. I know that because Jesus promised that. Paul reiterated that, right? We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. True? Yeah, he's done. Death no longer has the meaning over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And that's similar to our experience then too, isn't it? Our old self dies once. We can be baptized a second, third, fourth, fifth time. The story I heard at the seminary that back in the early centuries of the church, there were folks, particularly the more wealthy folks, I think, who were so afraid of being baptized and then falling back into sin that they would try to delay their baptism until they got up in years, closer to death, right? Hopefully not dying before it happens. And it's silliness. Because we died. Our old self died once, just as Jesus died once. And the life we live with Jesus for God, don't we? Every day. Is sin still calling at us? Yeah. Are we still tempted? Yeah. But you know what? We already realize that we're not those people anymore. We have Jesus fighting on our side. We have the Spirit working in us. And God is desperately working on bringing us into his kingdom. And just give up on us after he baptized us. That's another great guarantee of our baptism. It means that God didn't, not only did he claim us and want us, he's never going to give up on us, right? You're never back on the street alone without God. He's always with you. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I appreciate Paul reiterating it. I just, he must have known that I was going to talk about it. You must. He says you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He is our life. Breath that goes through us. That's why. Did you know that the word for spirit, right? means breath, right? That's what keeps you alive. You're breathing. You stop breathing, you either got sleep apnea or you're dead, right? The breath, He is our breath. He is our life. We are dead to sin and our whole sinful self is gone. What you see now is the new you already. Still, as he later said, not knowing what we're going to be when Jesus comes, that's the new you, right? New and improved. But we're free. And it was through death. Through Jesus' death and the death of our old selves. That brings us this new life. The life that God intended for you is the life that he sent Jesus to you. So it's in his precious name that we all say.
Amen.
Holy Father, we thank you for letting us hear your voice this morning through your scriptures and through your words of forgiveness and for making us alive again in our baptisms. Speak to us daily with words of strength and encouragement that we may never feel alone in this world but recognize your presence in all that we do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the earth, especially for the people of Algeria and their president, Abdelmajid Tebboune, that they may hear the gospel, come to faith, and join us in unity at the cross of Christ. Protect and defend all who find themselves unjustly assailed and pursued, denied human dignity and freedom, or oppressed for their faith in you, including Pastor Anushavin Avedin in Iran. Grant them strength of faith to see you as their light and salvation so that they fear no one. We pray for those who bring your word to the nations, including Reverend James and Angela Sharp in Latvia, G. and Julie Dask in Pakistan, Howard Thomas and Soon Church, Pelican Lutheran Church, and John A.B. Seaman in Cambodia, that they may sustain and guide them in their service towards others. We pray for myself, the leaders of our congregation, and all who are active in our community of faith, that we may grow in our discipleship and take up the challenge of sharing your message of grace and mercy with our community. And we ask that you would guide the members of St. Paul Lutheran Church in their call process, they may be blessed with a new pastor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the people of our nation during this turbulent time that you would help each of us to recognize the spiritual gifts you've given to us that allow us to be patient, kind, humble, and above all to love our neighbor as you have loved us. Motivate us to seek truth and to speak that truth in love to each other. We pray that our leaders may all seek your wisdom and serve us with the humility of Christ that peace and justice may prevail. We pray this not only for our country, but also for all those around the world, especially those living in Israel, Palestine, Pakistan, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, North Korea, Ethiopia, Yemen, Democratic Republic of Congo, Venezuela, China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Haiti, Myanmar, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Russia, and Ukraine. We pray for the members of our military who are stationed here or in foreign lands, including Austin, Christopher, Blake, Christopher, and Brian. Protect them and give them confidence during times of adversity. And we pray for our side-by-side and service ministry here in Lumpkin County that you will enable and encourage us to be a blessing to our neighbors who are struggling in various ways. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the elderly and those in nursing homes, the sick and those who are recovering, especially Susan, Pastor Carlton, Wally, Penny, Jennifer, Nani, Debbie, Chance, and Ann, David, Cassie, Pastor Stunkel, Catherine, Blanche, Marjorie, Ashley, Shirley, Brian, Lisa, Richard, Barbara, Nick, Georgiana, Renata, Cricket, Jimmy, Nathan, and Morgan, that according to your will, you would grant them healing. And we pray for those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Renata Schatz and Millicent Wallace, that they may find comfort and confidence in your promise of eternal life for all who trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we also pray for the family of Brian, who's going to have a memorial service this weekend. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort all people who suffer from poverty, addiction, stress, loneliness, or any other ways known to you, including Vincent, Kim, Doreen, Madison, Jose, and Jennifer, James and Katie, Jason and Teresa, Scott, the Smith family, and Travis, that you would strengthen their faith, guide them through adversity, and give them true hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for all the blessings you've showered upon us and for every prayer answered. But we ask that you would constantly make your presence known in the lives of your baptized children, especially Karen and Jill, who will be celebrating their baptism anniversaries this week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy alone, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And we'll continue now with our